I have enough trouble on those stairs just without having crutches. Good morning, everyone. Our Bible reading this morning is Romans chapter 12. So Romans chapter 12, we're reading the whole of that. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is in serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Well, good morning, everyone. So far in this different series, over the course of this year, we've looked at rest, time, health, rights, religious freedom, suffering, pride, fear, and wealth. And we've been able to compare what the world says about them and what God's Word says about them. In God's Word, we've seen how he is our good and gracious God, that his love transforms how we view such things, and he enables us through his word, through the Holy Spirit, to see his wisdom and know it is right, what is right and good for us. Well, today we're going to be looking at the topic of friendship, and we'll also consider what the world has to say and what God's word has to say about it. Now, as I've dealt with this topic, I've felt that I struggle a lot with being a good friend and that I have a lot to learn. So today I don't want you to feel like I'm saying I've got this together and so should you. Rather, I want us as a church family to think deeply about the topic and how we can approach it under God's good guidance in his word together. Some helpful books on this journey for me have been The Good God by Michael Reeves, True Friendship by Vaughan Roberts, and Connecting by Larry Crabb. Plus Bible talks from Romans 12 by John Piper, and talks on community by Tim Keller, amongst others. So today, my hope is that we will see that God is love, that he loves us completely in Christ, and he is who we should fix our focus on as we wrestle with true friendship. Well, let's pray together now as we look at this topic through God's word. Heavenly Father, our glorious God, your love is perfect and boundless. Thank you for pouring it out on us through Christ, our truest friend, most beloved brother, and our glorious King. Please help us to transfix our gaze on you and your amazing love in Romans 12. Help us to be filled with wonder and thanks and to shine that out through our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. When I was recently thinking about the topic of friendship, the book True Friends got me thinking about the TV show Friends and the sharp contrast with the friendship woes I experienced in a class that I taught at school. So in the 1990s, the TV show Friends was massive. Many of you, I'm sure, have enjoyed it immensely, whether it was when it was originally running on TV or through the many, many repeats of the series, or maybe through some binge watching on DVDs, or maybe, yeah, or like that. Anyway, with the opening song that has these hard to forget lyrics, which I'm not going to sing for you, but I'll read for you. So no one told you your life was going to be this way. Your job's a joke, you're broke, and your love life's DOA. It's like you're always stuck in second gear, when it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year. But I'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour. I'll be there for you like I've been there before. I'll be there for you because you're there for me too. Dun, 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 dun. It was a show with six friends, living life together, going through some rocky moments together, but mostly just having lots of fun and creating many moments of laughter for us back home. Meanwhile, in that class I taught, the friendship experiences were probably the exact opposite. Now, before I go on, we must remember that senior primary has the potential to be a very stressful and frustrating time for the students there. Why? Mostly because of the big changes they face with starting high school soon, possibly leaving friends to go to a new school, also with puberty kicking in, and the constant changing dynamics of relationships. So with that in mind, the friendship throes and woes were totally confusing. Friends one day, enemies the next. To friends again the day after that. Harsh words, forgiven words, brought up later on again to argue about them. All including constant chats with me, most of which only seemed to include half-truths anyway. Lots of unreasonableness, mixed with problems from home and with others, along with students not realising that even hurt someone else's feelings anyway. Over-exaggerated comments and a definite lack of skills to deal with the problems in better ways. So as the show Friends, or the state of friendship with those students in the class I had, a better example of friendship in our Western culture, in Australia, even in our own lives. I think it can actually definitely feel like a mix of both at times. Each of you will have had a range of experiences with friendships in your life. Friendships that have given you deep joy and happiness, to friendships that have left you feeling used and abused, to a total lack of friendships where you have only been left longing for one. So what has been your experience of friendship? And what do you actually define as friendship? The average male might say someone who is like a brother who sticks with you through thick and thin. The average female might say someone who cares, who listens, helps, makes you laugh, is comfortable to be around and reassures you. But what we see in our culture can feel very different to this. The number of people who seem lonely or lost or just plain sad. In Vaughan Roberts' book, True Friendship, he quotes a study from the 1980s that showed 20% of adults feel lonely at any one time. And another 20% said that they had no friend with whom they could discuss a personal problem. In the TV show currently on SBS, Look Into My Eyes, it starts by stating that there are currently over 3 million Australians estranged from family and friends. That's 1 in 8 of every people in Australia. And then what about all the stuff that we hear where people are addicted to technology? Technology where there are lots of shallow relationships when we need deeper ones, and where we are constantly connected when we need solitude. Then add to that the issue of friendships and sexual desire, that for some, friendship needs to be sexual so closeness can be achieved. It has created huge problems with things like sexting and sex amongst teenagers and young people, as if love and commitment will come from those alone. The world at large has a massive problem with making broken relationships. At our local library, there are such books as Option B, Facing Adversity, Building Resilience and Finding Joy, 9 Ways to a Resilient Child, which Jill and I own, Stop Being Lonely, 3 Simple Steps to Developing Close Friendships and Deep Relationships, Friendship. Let's Go Mad, A Year Abroad in Search of Utopia and Enlightenment, and Buddhism for Breakups, Spectacular Friendship Bracelets, and 31 Days to Great Sex, Love, Friendship and Fun. All these books in some way are trying to help and enhance friendships, telling us where we can change ourselves or influence others positively. But do they really help or truly get to the heart of the matter? Then what about the messages we keep hearing through advertising and media, which really are constant and loud? You are important. Put yourself first. Get what you want. Do what makes you happy. You, you, you. Me, me, me. Take, take, take. Messages that say that it's all about you. It's the disease of self. Tim Keller compares it to a type of cancer, insidious and growing inside of us. It drives us to feel incomplete, misunderstood, uncared for, unloved. It can drive us to demand love from others, but, and here's the big part, not give much or any in return. Everyone knows friendship is important and valuable, and everyone is trying to find it. But the problem is, the wisdom of the world makes it about us, ourselves. Just like the books from the library focus on the self, friendships can't truly be what they are meant to be if everyone is ultimately pursuing friendships and enrichment for themselves. In many ways, friendship in our culture is an absolute mess. We are surrounded by brokenness in its many forms. And right now, even amongst us here, in our body of believers, where the world should not have sway, there are some of us who feel lonely, lost and alone. There are some of us who have broken friendships. There are some of us who don't know how to have close friendships. There are some of us who struggle with the internet and feel the need to be accepted by others on Facebook or Instagram. There are some of us who feel or have felt hopeless and maybe even suicidal. There are some of us who struggle with the lies of me, me, me. I know I do at times. Is that something that you struggle with? These are deep problems that Australians, actually the whole world, faces. Is it possible to have a different approach to friendship that provides real hope for real and true friendship? Well, we haven't even looked at God's word yet, but I wanted to at least touch on the realities, views, and experiences of friendship and the many complexities that influence them before we dig deep into God's word. And I want us to see a clear contrast between our broken world and what our glorious God has to say. Because we have to ask ourselves, do we truly believe that God has the answers to the world's deepest problems? Let's have a look at verse 1 from Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. I love these verses as much as I love the book of Romans. Why? Because of the words, in view of God's mercy. Now they can be quick and easy to read over, but these words are more glorious than the most dazzling sunrise. And I've seen some dazzling ones. They're more breathtaking than the most picturesque vista. And I've definitely seen some picturesque ones. There's nothing more amazing than them. They're like coming to the crest of a ridge and suddenly seeing the mythical El Dorado, the golden city before you, or opening the door to Tutankhamun's tomb for the first time, or seeing a newborn child for the first time. This verse is like a platform on which to stand and see our glorious God from chapters 1 to 11, and then to see what we are called to as his chosen people from chapters 12 to 16. So you might be wondering what exactly Romans chapter 12 verse 1 has to do with friendship. But this verse has everything to do with it, because it points to the truest and most perfect friendship or relationship we could ever see. The Trinity. Now, this might sound too removed from your day-to-day experience of friendship. That's all right, but let me explain. See, in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, we read, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Here, both sides of God's mercy are clearly shown. We were powerless and weak, and sinners, his enemy. In his mercy, he shows us compassion because we were powerless, and in his mercy, he forgives us even though we are guilty. And in the midst of his mercy, it's abundantly clear that God's love for us is so great that Christ, God the Son, dies for us. Now let's look at John 17, verses 20 to 26. This is Jesus' prayer for all believers. "My prayer is not for them," that's the disciples, "not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Now, I wish we had time to unpack what Jesus truly means when he said, because you loved me before the creation of the world. But we don't, so a good book I can recommend is The Good God. Read it. However, what is clear for us now is that, as Michael Reeves in the book Good God puts it, the love the Father eternally had for the Son will be in all who believe in him, and that all might enjoy the Son as the Father always has. So what does all this mean with regard to friendship? This. Before creation, God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit loved each other completely. They were happy in themselves and enjoyed each other. They had perfect friendship. So they wanted to share their love for each other with their creation, us. Creation is the overflow of their love for each other. And people, us, are the pinnacle of their loving creation. God's overflowing love was poured into this world, and despite our sin entering creation, God's unfaltering love has continued. Because as Jesus prayed in John 17, and as he states in verse 26, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. It's Jesus' perfect willingness to obey the Father, to die on the cross in our place, to be separated from the Father's love at that time, as he took on our sin and paid for it all. All so that we might be able to truly experience the Father's love for us. It's his love flowing through his mercy at the cross that shows us what it is to truly love one another. In 1 John 4:10 it says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Truly God is love, and he loves us completely in Christ. Back in the 1600s, a Puritan by the name of Richard Sibbes, who was nicknamed the Honeymouth Preacher, was adamant that it was our view of God that shapes us most deeply. We become like what we worship. He knew God's love, so he became loving. It flowed through his preaching, his writing, and his relating. He had a quite extraordinary ability for cultivating warm and lasting friendships because he had become like his God. Two stories that come to my mind as I have understood this is the children coming to Jesus in Mark 10, being held by him and blessed by him, and the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. There's nothing good about her, but Jesus shows her compassion, forgiveness and love. He shows his overflowing love to them, and he pours out his abundant mercy on them and on us. Well, let's have a look at Romans 12 again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. What's the pattern of this world? Well, we've already seen that with regard to friendship. So don't conform to this world anymore. Don't worship what it worships. The disease of self makes it about us, but God shows us a better way. The gospel gives us an approach to friendship that is the exact opposite to the world's approach. The gospel is the real solution to the problem. Have in view God's abundant mercy, his mercy that is overflowing with love, and let his love flow out of you into the lives of others for their good. Be like who we worship. Be like little children and fill your mind with our Saviour. Just like Jesus, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, which pleases our loving God. Worship him with all your life. Let your minds be renewed and transformed as you view God's mercy, which shows his love for us. See that his will for us is good, pleasing and perfect. Because remember, God is love and he loves us completely in Christ. So love others as he has loved us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. Just like our generous brother or sister did earlier this year when they gave so much money for our church family in view of God's mercy. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Remember, God is love, and he loves us completely in Christ. So in view of God's mercy, remember, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves, like our brave brothers and sisters who shared deeply with us this year. In view of God's mercy, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Like Judy Ritchie and Rachel Voltz, they are in view of God's mercy. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Like Steve Tilley, who uses his house and his gifts to love and serve lots of people. In view of God's mercy, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position, like Ken and Lynn Murphy, who are generous with their time and possessions for all people in view of God's mercy. Do not be conceited. Remember, God is love, and he loves us completely in Christ. So, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, just like our loving God has done for us. There were a few examples I put in there, but I'm sure there are many other examples that we could all come up with. So can you see how these examples and the many others make us a countercultural community? When in view of God's mercy, true love shines out for others from amongst us. So brothers and sisters, we are God's special possession, his sons and daughters. When we set our hope and trust in Jesus, fill your mind and your eyes with our loving God. Give up your small ambitions for yourself. Don't think me, me, me anymore. Let God's overflowing love flow out of you into each other. Think others, others, others. Love each other, us broken people. Let us love one another as he has loved us. Let us be God's community in this broken world and show that God is love. In the book Connecting by Larry Crabb, he says, "The greatest need in modern civilization is the development of communities. True communities where the heart of God is home. Where the humble and the wise learn to shepherd those on the path behind them. Where trusting strugglers lock arms with others as together they journey on." So my dear brothers and sisters, let us look to our truest friend, our perfect friend, our God who is love and who loves us completely in Christ, and start conversations where we can be ever more real with each other and show God's perfect love that is full of grace and mercy to each other, us trusting strugglers. Let us be transformed by our loving God. Fix your eyes on the source of all love and let that flow out of us. Reveal our truest friend to each other so he can bring real healing into our hurting lives. Cultivate warm and lasting friendships just like God has with us. And if you are, continue to do it more and more, all in thanks to God. We need to do this together for each other. All right, let's pray together. Our glorious God, our loving Father, thank you that you are love and that you have infinitely loved and treasured us in Christ. Thank you that you have chosen us lowly sinners, lost in sin, to be your children. Thank you that you were willing to spare no expense to buy us back, even your Son Jesus. Fill our minds with this wonder. Help us, please, to always keep in view your mercy, where you have taken us from darkness into your marvelous light, so that we will willingly offer our bodies as living sacrifices for each other, in worship, wonder, and thanks to you, our glorious, loving God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.